Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Mary, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have our conversation. Can you start by telling me, how did you first find Organize 365?
Sure. I found your podcast while I was searching for just organizational podcasts. And I listened to a few shows, but really, I saw you featured in an Attitude magazine article about ADHD. Both of my children have ADHD as well as my husband. And I thought, you know, my life was kind of out of control at that point. And so I thought I could really use some help. So I went back to the podcast and haven't stopped listening since.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. So you kind of told us who's in your household. Tell us who does live with you in your house.
Sure. It's my husband. And then I have two girls. I have an 8 and a, well, she just turned 10 today, 10-year-old. Her name's Abby as well.
Aw.
Yeah. And so, you know, my oldest Abby has, as you mentioned, ADHD, but she also has a lot of different needs. So she has an immune disorder. She needs infusions every 28 days. Wow. Yeah. A lot of medical needs, a lot of health needs. So again, just, it's been a lot. And so it was a blessing to find the podcast.
So is that how you decided to first start getting organized? Like you were looking to, is that why you were trying to get organized, or were you already an organized person and just organizing this phase of life? What were you looking for?
So I feel like I was, well, I thought I was organized before I found you. but I really was looking for something for my daughter's medical paperwork and keeping all of her documents straight. She has an IEP, which is an individualized education plan. I always get the acronym wrong, but she has special education. and so I needed to get that stuff organized. And, you know, it would come at me so quickly with meetings and doctor visits and, hey, do you have a copy of this? And there's just paperwork everywhere.
You know, it's interesting that you say you thought you were organized and then you were looking to organize the paperwork. And I'm sure we'll uncover more in here, like other ways that you got organized in listening to the podcast and in your journey. But I think that's so true. Like we classify ourselves as organized or unorganized based on kind of like how we did our bedroom when we were 13. And then we expect that that level of organization will stay with us through our entire human existence. And that it's not something that you have to keep modifying, changing, growing, and evolving. And I think that's why people say, well, I thought I was organized or I never was organized. And they don't want to say like, I'm definitively organized now because it's not like an ending destination. But it's so true. As your life gets more complex and you, not a single parent becomes a parent and then has a child that has a complex medical history and knows how to organize and advocate for that immediately, unless they have medical training. Just like I had an educational training. So I knew that there were resources for my kids when they got diagnosed with learning disabilities, but I was not medically trained. So I did not know how to navigate the healthcare system. It's interesting, Abby, at this time, Grayson will probably be born by the time you guys hear this podcast, but Abby has been in labor and delivery 3 times, no baby yet. But the last time she was in, they were like, okay, like if this test doesn't turn around, we're going to do an emergency C-section. They left. And I said, Abby, you're probably going to get a steroid shot. And she says, I'm not going to, and I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. I said, you're not going to have a choice. Like they're going to develop these baby's lungs. You're going to get a steroid shot. So the doctor comes in 2 minutes later and says, all right, well, we like what we're seeing, but I think what we're going to do is give you a shot of steroids. And Abby just looks at me and looks back at the doctor and the doctor says, what? And the doctor, and Abby said, my mom just said, you're going to give us a steroid shot. And she said, oh, are you in the medical profession? No. Not at all. I wanted to say, no, but I pretend that I'm a lawyer and a doctor and a nurse. I'm like, no, I'm just a researcher. Like I've never been pregnant, but I know that like, if you get to like week, whatever, and they think they might take the baby, they're going to try to like strengthen those lungs. And how they do that is a steroid shot. Like I just research too much. Also, totally funny side note that you'll like this, Mary. So we're in the triage when you go to labor and delivery, which I've only ever been with Abby, but you go into triage first and then they decide whether they're going to admit you or not. So we had been in triage 2 weeks prior. They thought, you know, we're checking Abby out and we left. And apparently I was working. So she comes in this time and, you know, like they're like possibly going to do an emergency C-section. And I've got my laptop open and I'm updating my one-to-one meeting agendas for tomorrow because I am a mother who has lived with children who have been in doctor's appointments like 2 to 3 times a week for 20 years. So I'm like, okay, great. Well, if we're not actually in the C-section yet, then I'm going to make sure my meeting agendas are up to date because I'm probably going to be at work tomorrow or Stephanie's going to run my meetings. Either way, I have to do this part. So like I'll put the computer away when you're wheeling her away to surgery, which never happened, by the way. So the doctor comes and looks at me, looks at Abby. She goes, you guys were in here a couple of weeks ago. And we were like, yeah. She goes, and you were working a couple of weeks ago too. And Abby goes, yeah, she's always working. I thought, you know what? And the thought occurred to me, they probably do not have people that come into the triage of labor and delivery, crack open a laptop and get working. But when you have children with complex medical diagnoses, you just learn that you are not in control of your time, period. So if the house is not on fire, the child is still breathing and there's not blood gushing from somewhere else, anything else I could check off on my to-do list, on my phone, on my computer, clean out my purse, go through my wallet. Like I'm always like trying to stay ahead of the curve because if there is an emergency C-section, I will drop everything. But until you've said we're wheeling her back, I'm updating my meeting agendas. Right?
Completely, completely. And I was thrown into, you know, my daughter came at 32 weeks and it was very unexpected. So yes, I'm familiar with those shots and, you know, having special needs and having a little bit extra, extra appointments, extra things to do with her really got me, you know, spread thin is really how I came to be. I didn't, you know, like you said, multiple doctor's appointments per week and taking, I work out of the home full time. My husband does as well. I've had 2 promotions over the last couple of years. I've grown. Congrats. Thank you. But I have burnt myself out and that's where I kind of came. And I really enjoy listening to your story because I could totally relate to your children and your path, even though I'm in a corporate position. It was very helpful to hear, you know, the beginning story as well as, you know, where you are now. Cause no one prepares you for life sometimes. So,
and you know, the only way I could make sense of it is I literally had to quit my job in order to save the family and the house. And you didn't do that. So I could totally see how you got burned out. And other people may be like, how rude, how callous you like are updating your meeting agendas while your daughter's in triage. But listen, she is scrolling on her phone. Like she's hooked up to the monitors. Like there is a lot of waiting around time in these doctor's offices and waiting for meetings. And I literally, after I record this with you, Mary, I will be on a Zoom meeting in the parking lot at the hospital before we go in for the hour-long meeting at the anesthesiologist. And sometimes I feel guilty about that. But then the other part of me thinks, okay, well, if she was married with a spouse, I wouldn't be doing any of this. Like my parenting has been extended because my daughter now needs me to help her parent her child. And I am balancing, you know, what Greg and I need as should be empty nesters as a business owner that loves my business. And I love what I do. And I have a great supportive staff that are pitching in, but I also need to do my part and the grandmother and mother I want to be during this. Like, I think the biggest thing I've learned, I don't know about you, is that all time is not created equally. And I just look at time as time. It doesn't matter what time of day it is or what day of the week or what month of the year it is. This is a pocket of time. Here are my competing priorities right now. How can I task stack these as best as possible? And what do I constantly need to let go of so that I don't get overwhelmed?
I think I like that about your process because you really do, you know, you really do teach at a PhD level. I mean, she's no joke. But I like how you prioritize. So when you're doing something, you're task stacking, you're getting it done. But then when Abby needs you, you have done what you need to do and you can go really quickly. And I think, you know, in the past, what I did is I tried to basically, you know, spread myself as thin as possible to get everything done. And I'm slowly learning through listening with you and through the community, you know, I can be a little bit more strategic about it. I can think through what do I want? What's most important for me, my family, and then execute.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talked about what you did first. Is that what you did first, was figuring out that how to get things done at different times, or was it a Sunday basket? Like, how did you get started?
Yeah. So the first, and I think this is typical of your community, we always listen for about a year.
Yes, totally.
And I thought,
I love you guys for that. Keep listening.
I was like, I don't, you do things so differently compared to other, you know, other folks. So you're like, yeah, listen to me for a year. That's totally fine. So yeah, I listened for a year. I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this note card thing. And what can be magical about note cards? I just don't understand. Like, it's a note card. How can this help? But I have chronic anxiety. And so every time I had a thought, I'm like, I'm going to put it down on a note card. We're going to see how this goes. And I put it in my homemade basket and I tried it out. And I realized, even with my homemade basket and listening to the podcast, I got such a lift. All of a sudden I had free time. And I was like, I think she's onto something. And then, you know, 2020 happened. And so what a year, right? So I started off in my new position. I had direct reports for the first time. We were all learning new jobs. And then the kids got put back home, right? I was, they went to school normally. So they're back home. We're at home. My husband and I are working from home. It keeps going. And then there's July had a crazy storm in Iowa where the power went out for a week. And then, you know, and then the kids didn't go back to school in the fall. And so we chose to keep my children at home. And then, you know, my husband lost his job at the end of 2020.
Oh,
and
geez.
I mean, it was just quite the year, right?
Right.
But the way, you know, I started with the note cards, and then in 2020, I'm like, I've got something here. So let's buy that, you know, let's buy the Sunday basket. Okay. We'll see what it's all about. I'm telling you, within 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to be in a whole new place. And I don't even know. It's hard. I even thinking about some of the questions for today, I was like, I don't know how to explain to people how this will change your life, but it will. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you immediately get time back. And then a couple months later, I bought the workbox for my work because I'm like, I need to replicate what just happened here over here.
Yes. Yes.
Immediately. Now that was a little harder.
Because it is, because work is so digital. Yeah. You have to make it paper pencil. But when you make it paper pencil, you move so much faster. It's so counterintuitive. You think that digital moves you faster, and that it is true in communication and in sharing documents in business, but our entire company, we all carry around these portable Sunday baskets as our work boxes all the time. Like, everything gets printed out and put into Slash pockets, and then we email each other about it.
It really did change. In fact, some of the folks that work on my team, you know, one of them came to me and brought the other one with her. And she's like, explain the basket to her. And it's like, I'm not at that level yet, but I'll try and explain this to you. So slowly but surely, people are seeing, you know, the different benefits that I'm seeing, which is, you know, less anxiety, less stress, more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at home and at work. And you did the Sunday basket first. We are starting some corporate pilots that we're in the process of right now. And we thought we'd just move workboxes into small businesses and teams of corporations. And in talking with HR professionals and owners of these companies, what we realized was, and how we're doing the pilot, is everybody needs a Sunday basket first. Like, the company will buy your Sunday basket and help you get your Sunday basket set up, so that you could come to work with less stress and less on your mind, and then adapt into a workbox, because the Sunday basket is so universal and easy to understand and implement in a quick fashion. The workbox is going to be nuanced for each team and each company, and that's working really well. But to have the business owners, HR professionals, and team leaders all say, yes, we need to invest in our employees' home to-do list first, and then give them the corporate version. And that's how they all had the option of how they wanted to roll that out in their company. And they all said, yeah, we want to do the Sunday basket first. That's going to make the biggest difference for the employee.
Completely agree. That's very exciting.
So what's happened since you started getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, let's see. I have way less stress. I also, you know, because I was able to organize my daughter's medical records, when I have, we have some additional assistance through the state. So when I have to do paperwork for the state, I quickly am able to grab what I need. I shave hours off of my time. You know, we talked about the Sunday basket and the Friday workbox, but I also have done with your certified planners, I've done, you know, a paper organizing retreat. And I thought, I don't have any paper. I have tons of paper. I was like, oh, this will be quick. These other ladies have all this paper. I'm just going to sit here and work on my medical binder or, you know, whatever. And no, I had tons of paper. It was insane. I have never found, I mean, I'm digging it out of places I never knew it existed. Okay, so
help everyone who's still thinking they don't have paper, because I was just in an interview yesterday and they're like, yeah, well, we can skip over this because millennials don't have paper. I was like, actually, in our research, millennial men were the most interested in a binder solution as organizing their paper. They're like, what? I was like, yep, 62% over all other genders and age groups. And they're like, really? And I was like, you have more paper than you think. So Mary, where is this paper? What paper did you find?
I found it everywhere. So I went through... And I'm honest with you. I came to the thing that I brought another side project to work on at this paper retreat, because I thought these other ladies have all these big boxes. I don't know where they're getting this from. I thought, you know what? That's not me. No. I started digging through. I had sticky notes, emails. I did have paperwork, your tax returns, your medical papers, your explanation of benefits, your, you know, my daughter has a lot of school papers. Just even general forms for camp, they're everywhere. So I was, there were closets, and it's not like I thought I had them in one spot. You don't have your papers all in one spot. If you really think about it, you do not. You've got it shoved in a cupboard over here. You've got it everywhere. And so I would challenge folks to think about, it's not just physical paper. What sticky notes do you have? What emails do you have? What forms in the emails do you need to print off? Do you have files on your computer? They're everywhere. I promise you, you have it.
Yeah. I love how you say they're like in every closet, because when I first started to organize 365, you know, we had the Sunday basket. I'm like, we need binders. And nobody wanted to hear about this back then. Everybody thought they were paperless, and I had not made any traction whatsoever. And also, I don't think the timing was right. I was like, fine, we'll do the 100-day program. So I did the 100-day program. Everybody does the 100-day program. And then we were like, oh my gosh, I have so much paper. What do I do with the paper? That is why we have you do the Sunday basket, then the 100-day program. Because for the majority of people, you think your paper problem is solved with the Sunday basket and your actionable to-do list. And I'm done arguing with you. So I'm like, fine, you're right. Your paper problem is solved. Let's do the 100-day. When you go through the 100-day and you're in your storage room and you're in the guest room and the garage and your laundry room, and you're like, how did this paper get in here? Where did this come from? And then you just start putting in one area and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much paper. I'm like, great. Time to upgrade all access. Let's get you some binders. Let's organize your email. Let's organize, you know, like your photos, which are also paper. That's all, you know, that's all in all access. That's where we're going to get your paper organized. And some people move straight into that. But yeah, that's why I pushed all access. The papers on the second part, because when you organize your house, you realize, oh my gosh, there are manuals under my kitchen sink. You didn't realize there was any paper under there.
Yeah, I've shoved in the back of the kitchen cabinet. You know, There's the blender or the toaster, you know, Manual that you don't need. You might have even gotten rid of that. And I love how the programs kind of work with each other. So it's like a nice stepping, like a staircase, if you will. And every step sort of builds on one, You know, one step after another. And it's not like you have to go, you know, all in all at first. Just And part of me would tell you don't. Part of me would tell you this is organization on steroids. Okay, you need to take your time, and you need to slowly get your habits in place and get your mindset in the right place. I think, you know, yes, you can organize your stuff, but I want people to understand, like, for me, it's more than that. It's a mindset shift. I've started to think about things differently. I've started thinking about time and money differently, and goals and how I organize. It's not just the stuff, it's the mental. I mentioned, I have chronic anxiety. And so to me, this was part of my self-care and burnout recovery strategy. Mm. I needed it. I needed something. I needed someone to help me, teach me just basic steps. And then I rinse and repeat throughout my life in different areas. And it's been amazing. It's just somebody taught me steps, easy steps. I never learned that as a kid. It was very helpful.
So you mentioned about, you know, thinking about your mindset. I know you've done planning day. How has planning, like you're a pretty organized person. I'm sure you did planning before planning day. What was your planning like before? What was planning day like? How do you look at planning now?
Sure. So before it would be, I would say, you know, I'm looking at tomorrow and making sure that tomorrow or the next few days are okay. You know, that I've got everything I needed. But, and then I went to planning day, and I will say the first one's a little bit overwhelming. So if folks go and they need a nap, like you take a nap after planning day, you will need a nap because your mind just does not, well, I just don't think most people think about planning the way you think about planning.
No.
So the planning day is, you know, but that's okay. You meet us where we're at. So we go in, and I will say the planning day helped me think past the next week or even the next month. And it's thinking through, like, you know, this stuff is going to happen every year. The same things happen. I don't know why you're surprised you need the furnace checked. I mean, like, this is stuff that it's surprising to me that I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get the furnace checked. You don't have to wait till last minute. Right. You know? So I think planning day helped me think a little bit further ahead. Okay. What's coming up in the horizon? What should I think about? Oh, Lisa mentioned something, you know, oh yeah, I do need to do that. I will say what helped with my first planning day is, I think I went in the summer of 2020, and I remember you saying, like, yeah, I don't think COVID is going to stop. I think we're going to go into 2021. And I thought, please don't say that.
Nobody wanted to hear that at that time.
That's not my plan, Lisa. That's not my plan. Right. And so I thought, but I stopped and I said, okay, if she's right, let me think through that. I have two kids that are mm-hmm. school age. What am I going to do with these kids? We can't keep them at home. We both work. We're going to work from home, but we can't school them and at the same time. So I thought, okay, well, let's just pretend this is going to happen because I don't want it to be real, but we're going to do it. So then I was like, okay, I need a nanny. I need a nanny to come to the house because my daughter has an immune disorder. So we chose not to put her in public school. So we did the at home, you know, we schooled from home. And I texted my, you know, people I knew, and our old daycare provider, who was their main teacher, was like, I would love to be their nanny. Well, because I asked so early, I got a nanny.
Yeah.
I got her set up. Her and I met. Yeah. We talked about what school supplies do they need. We set up their little office. We rearranged my house because we needed it. And you helped me think about, okay, what purpose does your home need to serve in this season? Well, it needs to be a schoolhouse, basically. So I had everything lined up. People were like, I can't find school supplies. I'm like, I already have them. So, you know, it was great. It was very helpful. So I would say, you know, prior to that, I would have been not having care, trying to manage work, trying to manage the kids. And so now I actually joined the subscription program. I find that it is my time a couple times a year, three times a year, to think about me and my family and what we need.
Yeah.
And I've started a tradition where I take time off around planning day so that I can think through what I want to do, because I found, like, it truly is PhD level. So I need time to process. I can't just go back to work. I need time to process about, you know, my home and my goals and what I want to do. So.
Well, and if you take one day, each planning day off from work, that's 3 days a year, which you may not have three extra vacation days. But when you truly think about it, I think what's overwhelming at home is that when you don't plan, I'm not going to say that planning day isn't stressful the first couple of times you go through it, because you've never thought this way before. And you're like, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless. But at the same time, without planning days, the possibilities are endless and you never pick any of them. So you end up just living this very reactionary life. And yes, no one in like May of 2020, as a matter of fact, we got quite a few emails about that. I was not expecting to plan a pandemic summer, but I also remember it was that planning day when I said, look, this is your summer. So above ground pools, bikes, all these things are going to be sold out. People were having their spouses go to Walmart during planning day. And they're like, you're right. We got the last pool at Walmart. We got the last trampoline. And this was in May. This was or the last week in April. And you remember the summer of 2020, like I was like, be proactive about keeping these kids entertained because who knows what it's going to be. It's this question of what is in your control. And it's very little, but it's oh so much. Like you are in control of certain things. You are in control for the most part of what happens inside of your four walls and in your yard, if you have one, and how you and your family do life. So 3 times a year, thinking about at the end of these 4 months, what do I hope to have accomplished with my spouse if I have one, kids, house, personal, family, friends, and just pick 2 or 3. Like, I hope we have awesome holidays is what we're going to focus on in September. Like, what are the holidays going to look like for you? What's going to make those awesome? When you look at the new year, that's the longest time of the year, January all the way through May. What's a big personal project that you've wanted to check off in your home for photos, for your physical exercise is a great one. Getting out of debt is great then. And then summer, it's like, how do you want to enjoy your summer? Even if you work in corporate, like you do have a different schedule in summer. And how are you really at the end of the summer going to say, yeah, I had a great summer. You only have so many of those in your lifetime. And it's just purposely thinking through all the possibilities doesn't mean that it will, you know, I really hope I was wrong and that COVID would be gone. But now, you know, newsflash, it's not going anywhere for like ever now. So this is the new normal. And how is your family? What are the choices you're going to make? What are you in control of? And how can you take that going forward? So what do you have more of now, Mary?
Time, money, and peace.
Time, money, and peace. End the podcast right there. And we'd like to send you to our sales page. Buy it all. All the things you say you can't buy. Time, money, and peace.
I know. Time, money, and peace. You know, I just have space. I have space to think through things now. And I can handle, we've been thrown a lot in our home. And I am able to handle it and help guide the rest of my family through some of the stressful times that we've had. I'm learning day in and day out, you know, it's allowing me to focus on the important things versus just checking a to-do list off. It's more than that. It allows you some space to think about things. So that's, I guess I would have more of that.
What do you have less of then?
Stress. Feeling like I'm on a hamster wheel. I have less stuff too. I mean, we have definitely, you know, cleaned out a lot of stuff, but less stress, less anxiety. It's great.
Okay. And just to be clear, I mean, obviously Organized 365 products, if you just bought them, don't listen to the podcast and do nothing with it, you are not going to have less stress and more time, money, and peace. It is this, what Organized 365 is providing from my perspective is just the conduit through your changing your mindset, like you said, to a different way of observing time and money and what you are in control of. Would you agree with that?
Completely. It's not, you don't need to, yeah, I would completely agree.
It is just, I look at the world differently than other people do. And I have all you guys looking at the world this way too. And now you were all unusual. But I think that the whole world is kind of making these shifts. It reminds me of when I was a kid, I thought that the doctors had all the knowledge and I had none of the knowledge until I had kids that needed doctor intervention. And still, the doctors have the majority of the knowledge and they know what to do in a crisis situation and they understand all the treatments and medical and research that is out there. But I also am an expert in my specific kids and in their specific diagnosis and in the specific medical things we use. Just like I said earlier, that I knew that Abby was going to need a steroid shot because whether or not she delivered early, it's a pretty, you know, pretty standard that you get that at a certain time in pregnancy if they think they might take the baby early. So there are some things that we can just learn on the internet. Once I realized when my kids were like 2 and 3, that I was in partnership with the medical community for the health, welfare, and future of my kids, I took my role and responsibility more seriously. And I stopped abdicating all of my choices to the medical profession. And I truly became a partner to when Abby was hospitalized at the age of 10, the head of the department we were in was having a conversation with me. And he said, You ask us questions that we still have in research, and you understand how these medications work together better than most of the people here on staff. He's like, I cannot believe how much you understand this specific medical condition. And so it is a partnership. It's a partnership with your school. It's a partnership with your medical professionals. It's a partnership with your employer, with your employees, with your community, with your state, with your, like, it's not us versus them. It's not my way or their way. Everything is a partnership, and we all need to learn about whatever it is that is impacting our lives so that we can make educated decisions that work with what our personal beliefs and thoughts and are at the time. So we feel like we have not only control, but just like that we are engaged, active partners in every part of our life. Not like I go to work and I have to do this because this is what my employer said, or, well, the school said this, well, the doctor said this, well, the government said this. Okay, yeah, they're going to say all of those things. You do your research, and then how are you going to partner in all of those things so that you not only feel like, but you are an active participant in all those pieces of your life.
And being organized allows you to, I guess, arm your partners with data. So I'm able to go in and every time, because of the, you know, even that I have the mini medical binder at the moment, and that thing has been a lifesaver, because I'll go into the doctors and I have figured out how to organize my child's very complex information into a 2-pager, and they have everything they ever needed. And they're like, who are you? And I'm like,
So classic example. Going into a doctor's office and having all the information in your head is not the same as having it on paper. When you have it on your head and you are saying it back and forth to a doctor, they're trying to get through what they want to say. They have a limited amount of time. You may have that peer relationship in your head, but they don't see it. When you bring it in paper and they can scan it and see what you've handed them, they elevate their conversation to a peer-to-peer conversation with you, because that piece of paper shows that you are prepared, you are knowledgeable, you know what you're talking about. They skip all of the, what's the temperature? What's the blood pressure? And they go to like, oh, okay, so you've been on these 3 medicines. We're thinking about this one. What do you think about these doses or whatever? And they start respecting you and talking to you like a peer versus, you know, just another patient that they need to do all the work for. You are partnering with them in the work and the thinking, then they will engage with you at the thinking level.
Yeah. And it's been not only just with my medical partners, also, you know, at school, you know, having special education, we partner with many different areas when we do that, and coming armed with data and information, they're very busy. They don't have time to summarize my child's history. They care a lot about her, and they are doing the best they can on limited time and resources as well. Mm-hmm. So if I can come in and give them the information they need to make decisions or to have a better conversation about her needs, I'm going to do it, because that's in the best interest of her and our family. So it's worked out quite well. The last IEP meeting, we had a very efficient meeting, because I had everything, and they're like, well, we can't do this because of this. And I'm like, actually we can, you know, here on page, I brought it for you, page so-and-so, in this paragraph, it says that we can do that sort of service because da, 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 da. And they were like, oh, I guess we can. Yes, we can. Let's keep moving.
Yes. And it's not that you're saying you have to give my child what they need because they need it and it's in code, whatever. You're doing the work. Again, you're doing the work. When you come to the meeting as prepared as the teacher and the psychologist and the assistant principal comes to the meeting, they have all of their data in front of them. And based on all of the data that they have, they think this is what they can offer your child. If you also have done the work and say, okay, but yes, I've also found that these are the other solutions. Or like sometimes for my kids, I would say, well, if cost of the computer is an issue, I'll supply the computer as long as we can then incorporate it inside of the school. But usually if I could say that here's why it would work and here's how it would work and here's what it is, they would end up buying the computer or whatever it is. It's the work. Like, think about it in your job, whether you are the manager or you're the person being managed. If the two of you come into a meeting and there is an issue, like whatever, like the server is down, and you come into the meeting, you go, the server is down, and you expect your manager to solve the problem, figure out who's going to do it, call the purple, or you come into a meeting, you say, the server is down. We used Josh last time. It was $2,000 and it cost 2 hours. Would you mind if I make that phone call? The manager's going to be like, yes, it is that. in school and in medical. Like, come to the table with the solution that you want. Now they could say, oh, you know what? We actually have partnered with Aaron over here, and Aaron's $3,000, but we're moving him in the whole corporation. So would you mind calling Aaron? Now you're having a conversation about solutions versus a problem with no answer, which just causes stress and worry. And then you got to bring in another person. You see how you could do that same thing we do in corporate and in businesses, in your home, in your medical, in your everything that you're in. How would you approach this problem at work?
I know. And there's just so many applications. And I think if you think past maybe, you know, you may give us a concept in a podcast. If you think past maybe your example and think about, okay, now how does that apply in my life?
Right.
There are so many applications. And I think that's where your mind starts to shift to think about, okay, I know she's talking about, you know, this, but oh, over here, I'm trying to help with my elderly parents. And
yes,
I know we're not starting school, but you know what? They're starting in a new care facility, and I bet they're going to need this, that, and the other. And and starting to think like that, but that doesn't happen overnight. And I think that'd be something I'd want to tell folks is I'm telling you this as someone who's started the path and early in the path. It's step by step and slow by slow. And you don't even realize changes are happening until all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I already fixed, you know, like I've already thought through that. So,
yeah, we're used to bucketing our life, home, work, housework, education, medical, whatever. What I'm saying is it's all the same. It's all the same. It all has information that needs to be organized, that needs to be streamlined and task stacked and reduced in the quantity in order to get more done. And then you can focus on whichever one you want. So yeah, there are a lot more similarities. Oh, I love that, Mary. I'm going to have to come back to that in another podcast. What do you wish you knew sooner?
I really wish you were my teacher at 10 years old. no one taught me how to organize my space, my mind, my paper. No one taught me that. So I've accomplished a lot. I will say that I've always gotten stuff done, but it was at the expense of probably my health and my mental peace. I use my working memory to try and keep all the information in my head. And, you know, I'm not a computer. And I think once I realized I'm not a computer, that's been very helpful. So it's a theme in my life that I'm using, you know, my memory to kind of be like, okay, is it time to get the furnace checked, let's say. So I really, truly appreciate your teaching organization. And yes, I say it's at a PhD level, but you piece it into what I like to call bite-sized nugget pieces of gold. They're just very digestible and it's easy to grasp. So I'm very grateful for you being you and being vulnerable with us and authentic and showing up for us and helping us, you know, change our lives. I really, really appreciate it. And I just continue to learn with each podcast.
Well, thank you. That's so sweet. I think you mentioned how organized 365 systems build on each other. And the thing I would say about that is they do, but they're also designed that you can start literally anywhere. Like you could pick a binder, you can pick any part of the system. And it's like Legos. You could put them together in any order that you want. You can listen to any podcast episode. Like, one of the things that I have learned as a teacher, and I was very purposeful in creating Organize 365, is that when you're ready to get organized, you want to organize whatever the most pressing thing for you is right now versus starting on point one and going all the way to point 100. And so that's why in the 100-day program, you could start on day 59. Like every single day is independent of every other one. They do go together, but you can pick something and be accomplished at the end of that day. You can do the Sunday basket and be accomplished at the end of the Sunday basket. You start with an independent binder and be accomplished when that one binder is done, even if you do nothing else in the system. So it does all go together, but you will continue. It's Montessori. You could start anywhere you want and just keep building on it.
I'd agree.
So what is your next step?
I'm still working on my 100-day program. And I'm trying to take my corporate work backs to 110%, as you say.
Yes.
I'm doing my, you know, Sunday basket subscription, but I want to move towards next is my workbox subscription. And I'm thinking also of getting some coaching through one of your certified organizers, because now I know what I need help with. you know, now I'm starting to get more focused on, okay, I could really use some help with this. And really what I'm trying to do right now is I'm just getting me set up, because if I want to pour into others, I really need to get me set up before I can pour into others. And I think I've always done the reverse in the past.
Yes.
So that is sort of my goals, but I do know like the community is there to support me, and you're right. You know, I didn't go in a specific order. I sort of went by need first, but your tools and your programs are there when I need them. So they're always there. So when you're ready and you have the right, you know, you're ready and you're in that space and that season, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting out? Like, they're like, well, this is the first podcast I'm listening to. So Mary, what should I do?
I know. Start slow. It's okay. You know, you're probably going to listen to Lisa's podcast for a year. Just know she's going to tell you this and you're not going to believe her, but she's right. You're going to listen for a year and that's okay. Lisa's like your personal coach and she's cheering you on, and it's going to show up to you in small changes. It's not overnight. And she doesn't promise that. She tells you, you know, she's here to help, and her team's available to help along the way. Personally, I would start with, you know, starting that Sunday basket and seeing how your weeks start getting easier. You'll start seeing it. And I think that's where you get the momentum and the encouragement that you need to say, okay, I can tackle a little more now. Again, I didn't know what a basket and note cards could do for me, but it's literally changed my life. That's why I wanted to be on the podcast. I was very skeptical. It's not flashy, you know, but it works. Hands down, it works. You know, I think you were talking about how you had opportunities to maybe do your programs and pricing differently. I actually completed a financial course through another person. And at the end of the course, the person said, well, you should be so proud of yourself because, you know, most people don't get to the end of my course. And I thought, that's what Lisa meant. They don't expect you to get to the end of the course.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think that that is going to be changing. I think that how we sell things online is going to be changing. When no one understood how the internet worked, there were a lot of ways to game the system through just sales. Like, people who are really good at sales are really good at sales, and they figured it out. And actually, COVID leveled the playing field because every single retailer had to come online. So it's going to be a different game now. And I also think that, you know, it's really, what is your purpose with your business? Obviously, I have a business. I have an employees now. I have a warehouse. We have inventory. Like, but my business is not, I mean, it is a corporation, but that isn't the purpose of it. Like, mine has always been to empower people to get organized so they can get more time to do what they're uniquely created to do. How do you monetize what you're uniquely created to do if you're not a coach? So I am just really the guide, and the Organize 365 products are the systems that will help you stay on the road to your own personal transformation to get more time to do what you're uniquely created to do. So as your guide through this transformation, the products are just there to remind you of the Sunday. Even if you don't use the Sunday basket on your counter will remind you to do your Sunday planning. If you have the 100 day and you only complete 50 of the days over 5 years, it doesn't matter because maybe you didn't need those other 50 days in your house organized, or you don't care if those spaces are organized or not. It's not about completion. It's about the transformation of your mind from living a reactive life to a proactive life where you have more time to do what you're uniquely created to do. So if you're emailing me like someone did yesterday about the book that they're publishing, and I can't even tell you how many people have published books. I mean, dozens of people have published books because they now have more time and they finally decided to write the book they were meant to write. Like, that is worth everything to me. So when I am marketed to as a woman, because 85% of purchases are made by women, and as my husband would say, I make 85% of the purchases for our county, maybe. He's like, you buy so much stuff. I feel best when I know that the purchase that I have made, the company stands behind me in the transformation that that purchase was supposed to do. Like, it has a lifetime return, or, you know, they guarantee their product, or if it comes damaged, they replace it, or they follow up with a thank you email, or you get a customer service call, or, you know, you just like, it's not just a transaction. I don't like dealing with people where things are a transaction. And so through your transformation, as you keep investing more time in the podcast or purchase any of our products, we are partnering with you in the transformation. So if we're partnering with you in the transformation, why would we not have lifetime access to the community that we provide that would support you with that product? Or, you know, like it just doesn't make sense that there would be like, you can only buy it for the next 10 days or buy it on sale now. And then you're, oh, you missed the sale. Too bad you missed the sale. Or you only have 90 days to fix this. Like, you said that you have more time, more money, more peace, and less stress. And all of those sales tactics that work to get people to make a purchase more quickly that I don't do, which honestly does leave a lot of money on the table. I could be a much more profitable company if I did a launch model, if I did sales, if I had things sell out, I would be more profitable. But you would not have peace, and you would be more, I would cause stress and anxiety. Whereas the business model that I have now, that is not as profitable as some others, I believe that our company will be in business longer. And you will never look at Organize 365 and say, oh, they caused me stress and anxiety subconsciously because you knew you missed something. I don't want you to feel like you missed something or that I am putting an arbitrary timetable on your transformation. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And your customer service is amazing. Like, they're just amazing. And the people you work with are amazing. So it's always a good experience. If you do have a question or concern, they go way above and beyond to make sure. They're amazing. They're amazing. But
well,
yeah,
they love you so much. Like, they are like, they get so stressed out. Like, if you're stressed out and not happy, they're like, oh, they feel so bad. And they're like, oh.
No, but they're amazing. It hurts their heart. They're just amazing and just way above and beyond. But yeah, that course that I had completed, the reason why I got it done was that I had planned it and last planning day and said it was really a priority for me. And I planned it out so that I could complete it. So I think I'm just very grateful for all the support and the tools and the systems that you bring to the community, because it's been life-changing. So thank you so much.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for sharing your story. We would love for the rest of you to share your story as well. So just go to organize365.com/Wednesday and apply. Pat will read your application and reach out to you to get your podcast interview scheduled. I love having these conversations with people like you, Mary. It's so fun to spend, you know, almost an hour together on Zoom so we can record this for other people to see. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.